And she says that it's from her. So I will read what she has left to share with us, and hopefully that could kickstart our meeting. Okay. She's safely home by now, though. Okay, just to let you know. Okay, so here's Janie. I can't sound like her, but I'll try. Okay. When I first went to the youth conference, I wasn't too sure what I was in for. I know the theme did attract my attention because I wanted to follow him. I believe what I'm doing now is because he did call me to go and follow him. And I feel this past year has been very rough and my resolve weakened. WCC was excellent, and I guess I wanted more spiritual nourishment in order to stuck put for the spiritually dry Hong Kong. The thing that first really caught my attention is that they said God is a God full of purpose. The brothers and sisters in Toronto did all they could to help the young ones go, and they said the rest is up to the brothers and sisters. There are bits and pieces of the messages that reminded me, comforted me, corrected me, and most importantly, brought me back to the crucial theme. Our love for the Lord did not individually, but corporately. To be transformed. The disciples were transformed not by Jesus' teaching, but his person, and that was to spend time with him. What we spend time on really shows in what we spend on time on. I'm really reading this verbatim, okay? I have been a Christian for over 20 years, and I can say that if you find your Christian life boring, then you really are not living it up. The more I see, the more I am astonished. Our life with the Lord really is a life. You see pain, but you also see comfort beyond anything of this world. At times, nothing makes sense, but he makes perfect sense of all things. Things are joyless without his presence. One big thing that touched me was hearing Dana sing the song, I Love You More Each Morning. The words are, I love you more each morning. I love you more each day. The more I see you, the more I need you. And I love you more each day. Long ago, when I was a teenager at a VCA retreat, Dana sang the song, and also brothers and sisters had the song on tape. It was one of those retreats where it seems like everyone was really filled with the love to the Lord. I can say the song is one of those songs I sang to the Lord every morning for devotion when I really loved him with my first love. Brothers and sisters, we do need to recover our first love. Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Revelations 2:2-5. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. To love him is to follow him by faith and obedience. It is not a feeling, but an action. We show our obedience to him by loving him. It was not easy for me to leave Vancouver again. I woke up with dread facing the future. It is so comfortable at home, but I do not want to be comfortable. I want to have more of the Lord and be more widely used by him. I do not know what will happen after this coming school year, but I do want to know his will clearly and follow him. A brother named Sonny Bradley shared how his close friend got cancer, and Sonny started to weep when he was sharing about this. Sonny said his friend showed practically that he is willing to trust God with everything. When his friend found out that he had the terminal cancer disease, he said to Sonny, "No one who follows the Lord will regret it." When Sonny shared this, I feel after looking back in my life, it is true. I have never regretted following the Lord in anything. Dana shared that we need to not love God, worship God, serve God with our soul, but with our spirit. It says to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. It is our heart that springs the fountain of life. We express love to the Lord not just by emotion, but also by obedience. The Lord doesn't force anyone to follow. If he forces someone, they will be offended. We need to come and see how good the Lord is before we can follow him. Dana was really funny, saying that only God can satisfy. Dana said people get a girlfriend thinking it will satisfy. Yuh, yum, yum, yuck. But if you taste God, you will be like, yum, 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 so good. Funny because in L.A., Michelle Hui took us to an almost pastrami restaurant. I don't know what an almost pastrami restaurant is. I saw exactly what Dana meant by that situation. Michelle kept saying, it's so good for at least 10 minutes. She was willing to take us all the way downtown, pretty far, pay for parking to go to this place. Pretty soon, Minerva was saying, "Man, it's so good. She even ordered another half, though she was full." You see, brothers and sisters, Minerva is a pig. Okay, I think I'll stop reading here. Ha ha, just kidding. I'll talk to her later. But we need to love the Lord like that. We are willing to do anything because we love Him. Basically, it was saying how we know God through four ways. How God has conversations with us. One, creation. Two, conscience. Three, providence. We see clues beyond coincidence. Four, we taste the word. I really do echo what Dana said too. 43 years later, Dana reads the Bible because he needs to read it. He needs to serve the Lord or else cannot be satisfied. Also, love is not emotional. There are people who are faithful to God, who do not shed tears. People who say to the Lord, "Command me," those who are loyal, true, and faithful. Some younger brothers and sisters afterwards said they were really relieved to hear that because they had no tears during singing time. Also, if we love God by obedience, we should ask God what is lacking in our obedience. What is separating us from being so close to Him? There was a lot of messages on being intimate with God, having a closet relationship with Him, spending secret time with Him. It is also like a wedding. Sometimes there are strongholds in our lives like Jericho, like how it says in 2 Corinthians 10:3. This was speaking on how our mind really affects us. What you see is what you are, what your mind is full of. There are a lot of other good stuff, but to keep it shorter, finally, the testimonies at the end really touched me too. Frank said he couldn't get a job anywhere and really see that he is dependent on God and he can't do anything. God may not open all the doors and he closes the doors, but God has a bigger plan. Life is not what you think it is. To get a good job, good wife, good kids, then retire. Brothers and sisters, I really see it as the end time. God is coming again so soon. Big scale world events are happening. In the closing message, Hosea shared that Brother Lance was asked if he was scared of the bombing that was happening in Israel. He said no, because after the Big Bang, then he will be in glory. There is nowhere safe except in the will of God. Brothers and sisters, we need to have a corporate worship, corporate prayer, a corporate life, because God made us one body to love Him together, know Him together, and serve Him together. Satan wants to divide us up. May we love Him with our first love in our actions and deeds, because He is worth it, and He really is coming again soon. Nothing lasts except Him. Sideways, smiley face. And He paid it all for us to come to Him. He did everything He could. Now the response is up to us. And that's Jenny. So since Jenny shared, now the younger brothers and sisters in front can come up and share too.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. I'm really grateful that the Lord has given me this opportunity to really tell you how much the Lord has taught me over the past 2 weeks at the conference. And let us first turn to Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." I think what penetrated my heart the most in this verse is the part when it mentioned to deny myself. And I know that has been a struggle for me over the past years because I hold so many things so dearly. And what's been a difficult struggle for me is all these plans, all these ambitions that I hold so tightly to myself for the future regarding university and also the future career. And I know that I've been hearing the Lord telling me, "Solomon, are you willing to give up these plans for My sake?" And over again, I've been telling him, Lord, I can't do it now. Not yet. And so it's been dragging on for years. And finally, until I was at a conference, and I was reminded, I finally realized how foolish I have been in the past. And I was just struck when I heard one of the speakers mentioned, if our eyes are not opened, our ears not turned in, and our hearts not softened for its words to set root, then we are not ready to receive and follow him. And upon that realization, I just feel so shameful, because I've been indulging myself in so many things that are the mere pleasures, passing pleasures of sins. And I just don't realize what is the best for me. And although when I know it, I'm often reluctant to submit. But I was really touched when I heard that God is committed to achieve his purpose in my life. And when I heard that, I know that I must choose the narrow path and not the easy route. Let us also turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 to 20. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 to 20. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. And in these verses, there are three main points that really spoke to me. The first is, love the Lord. Now, do we love the Lord more than ourselves? Are we willing to submit our lives completely to him? That includes all of our plans, all of our ambitions, all of our pleasures. Are we willing to give up for his sake? And the second point is obeying his voice. Now, do we even hear his voice? And when we hear that voice, do we obey it? Or are we simply tempted to go on with our own ways and just ignore that voice? And the third point is cling to him. Do we cling to him, or do we cling to this world? There are just so many temptations that just keep on taking us away from the Lord. Now, are we determined to love him, to obey his voice, and truly cling to him? And I just realized that I no longer want to be obligated to any worldly pursuits, because I love the Lord. Let us turn to our last verse this evening, Psalm chapter 34, verse 8. Psalm Psalm chapter 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. I believe this is the most remarkable lesson in this conference. Now, in order for us to truly follow him, we must taste more of the Lord. And for me personally, it is when I was most desperate, most defeated, that I realized how powerless I am, that how much I need to depend on the Lord. And what is so amazing is that when I come to him with nothing, he would open his arms to embrace me. And it is when I'm going through difficulties and trials that I realize the Lord is so sweet. And over the years, I've been experiencing a lot of unpleasant situations. And every time, it really gives me the opportunity to cling to the Lord, turn away from him. But I'm just so grateful that I've made a decision every time to obey his voice and just to submit to him. And eventually, our relationship become more personal and more intimate, that I just want to be submit to his every will, that Lord, I just want to be commanded by him more than anything. Before I end tonight, I just want to ask you all a question. Are you willing to abandon all your rights to follow and serve the Lord?
I just have to ask you guys to forgive me if I go on too long. You guys could just cut me off, like when. Well, to continue off from my story from last time on how I was able to get my passport and hopefully the Lord would lead me to WCCC. It's actually pretty amazing because before WCCC, it was extremely busy in my family because our whole family was like moving, and there were many things we had to take care of. So there were a lot of times when like the whole family wouldn't have any time to sleep for like weeks because it was just really crammed in, and it was sort of a sudden move type of thing. So everyone was really exhausted. And although all the family members have registered for WCCC, it ended up that only I was able to go. And actually, I was really thankful that the Lord allowed me to go. Because during the week before WCCC, basically I didn't sleep for 3 days because I had to hand in like two projects too. And then at first we're thinking, okay, it's sort of impossible for us to go. But I thank the Lord that he provided me with like a plane ticket, because at first I didn't book anything in advance. And basically I was counting on using my own British Airways miles. And I was trying to redeem my points. And then it took like a couple of days to sort it out because they kept telling me they have a computer problem and I wasn't able to redeem my points online. And I called in like for 3 days and they're saying, oh, sorry now, it's not just the computer system down, but basically they can't book anything that goes from North America to North America. So I was really disappointed because I really wanted to go. But then the Lord provided. I was able to use Rebecca's points, and I was able to get a ticket and go to WCC. So as you guys see, I'm just basically wearing a t-shirt. And this is a t-shirt that I got from doing airport services with brothers and sisters. It was really actually a really happy experience because when we got to LA in the airport, we were able to serve together. And during that time, I was able to share and learn from other brothers and sisters. And I guess I'll quickly jump off. The Lord was really amazing. During this time, I got to caught up with a lot of old faces. And there were just many, many people that I've learned a lot from. But in particular, I want to mention just two people. That's Lauren and Dana. For some of you, you might have known Lauren, Lauren Martin or Lauren Laris. She was just someone that was with us in the children's ministry when I was really young. And basically, during a lot of times when we have conferences, she would be taking care of us. And through this time, I realized that a lot of us has grown up. And like I was really thankful because there were a lot of things I've learned from her when I was a kid. I was able to apply it and help others in this year's Chinese gospel camp. And another thing was really cool because I actually had to leave early on Sunday at WCC, so I had to miss like the first message. But the funny thing was Dana was also leaving with me, and we were both waiting for the same shuttle bus. But the shuttle bus sort of delayed, so basically I ended up talking with Dana for an hour. And it was really cool because we got to share a lot. And one of the things we were talking about was working with young people. And like we got to the point where he was sharing with me how there was times when it was not of particular interest to him in working with young people. But we realized that God can really use us in amazing ways or in any capacities that we would never imagine. And when we're willing to humble ourselves and allow God to work through us, we're able to really be used by Him. And there's something He shared with me that was really helpful. He talked about how long time ago, many, many years ago, I think that would be like 30, 40 years ago, there was this one time where he wrote a song, and he was sharing it at a meeting. And he would tell me, like, a lot of times he would write songs for special meetings, and then he would just forget about them. And then he would just write new songs, like, for another meeting. But what surprised him was one year a lady went up to him and told him, like, she was really thankful that Dana shared a song with her, like, 30 years ago, because she was facing a lot of trauma. Like, for a while, she was abused by her husband, and basically, she was having relationship problems, and like she had a problem with her marriage, and it was so bad that she had to go to a rehab center. And basically, at that point, she wanted to give up her life. But one thing was she remembered the song that Dana shared with her, and she kept thinking about the song, and it brought her back to a spiritual recovery where she was able to come back to the Lord and be healed by Him. So there was something that like Dana never would have thought of, that just one song that he shared could influence a person so much. And so like I was really encouraged by this too. And nothing Dana shared with me was he's asked me if I've ever thought about composing songs for like special meetings. And I was like, that's something that I've thought about doing too, because Dana knew I was interested in music production. So he shared with me about a lot of things that was helpful to my career, aside from like my spiritual life. He also told me about a lot about his recording processes that he's currently doing, and about his recording equipment. And also, one thing was really cool is that his son is actually in making films right now. And so he also told me a lot about film music. So I thought that was a really, really interesting experience. Okay, now to go into the more intensive stuff now, I want to share something about like a topic that Brother Christian Chen shared with us during WCCC. And it's about to learn Christ. And it's a subtopic of the theme to be conformed to the image of His Son. And he shared in the beginning of the message about Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. he's talked about, but you did not learn Christ in this way. And when he talked about that, he was pointing at the church of Ephesus. I think I have to keep things short, so I'll jump to this part. A lot of times when we talk about learning Christ, we really refer to the personality of Christ. And it's this character of Christ. So when we are conformed to the image of His Son, it's by the Lord's grace. And in us is transformed the character of Christ. And then when people see the character of Christ in us, they see the beauty of Christ in us. So when we gather together, the church manifests the personality of Christ. And this is what Paul showed us. But the thing is, many people believe that to learn Christ is to imitate Christ. Now, to learn Christ does not mean Christology. Like, you have chemistry and you have physics, and you have Christology. But when you go to college and you study physics and you study chemistry, it is like all about learning about it. And when you go to seminary, you also study Christology. But are we really learning just about Christ? Now, the important point here is to learn Christ. So what is to learn Christ? Now, Brother Chen borrowed a really popular phrase. And this, basically, in the 13 epistles of Paul, this one verse can encompass and summarize everything. And this verse is this. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now this verse shows how Paul learned Christ. And then to learn Christ is, he is learning a living Christ. Now he has been crucified with Christ and is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Now to learn Christ means to relive Christ. Now because the life of Christ is in him, this life is hidden together in Christ. And this life is a life of secret. It is a hidden life. Now, if you have this life, then you have this living. If you don't have the life of Christ, then you can't have this living. And if you don't have the life of Christ, you can learn of Christ. Now, Paul was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. And when he was born, he was to be a scholar. And he wanted to be a scholar and a rabbi. Now, at that time, the greatest rabbi was Gamaliel, and he was at the feet of Gamaliel. So Paul had a very strict teaching of the Old Testament. So he knew what was contained in the Old Testament. So if you were to ask Paul, if you were to read the entire Old Testament, when you speak of God's love, his righteousness, and when you speak of all his attributes, what is the hardest thing to explain? And Paul would probably tell you that the most difficult thing to explain would be God's glory. Now, Brother Chen asked a question. He said, did Ezekiel actually see God's glory? And the answer is no, he did not see God's glory. He only saw the image of God's glory. Now, he saw the heavens open. But don't forget, ever since man fell and sinned, according to the Bible, the heaven has already become brass. Now, in other words, after man sinned and fell, man has been so distant from the Lord. And is like as far as earth is from heaven. So ever since man fell and sinned, the heavens were like brass. It never opened until one day when the Son of God, Jesus Christ, came to earth, when he rose from the Jordan River. And if you pay attention to the four Gospels, the Bible said that the heavens were rent asunder, and it is Jesus Christ coming down, and he only gives us an open heaven. Now the Bible tells us that the heavens were open to Stephen. When heavens opened to Stephen, he saw God's glory. He did not see the glorious image of God. And he saw Christ standing at the right hand of God. Now, what is God's glory? When you see Jesus Christ, you see God's glory. Now, in the Old Testament, when you read Ezekiel, it speaks of the glory of God. It speaks of God's throne. You know a little bit about God's glory, but you don't really know what glory actually is. Now, okay, since I know we're running out of time. Okay. Now, this is a really important part, because when we read Romans 8, we speak of conforming to the image of his Son. And it continues and follows and speaks of glorification. Now, it does not only just talk about justification by faith or sanctification by faith, but it speaks of glorification by faith. So what is glorification by faith? It is to conform to the image of his Son. Now, if we do not see God's glory, then how do you gain glory? Now, how did Paul begin his lesson? and to learn Christ. Now, on the road to Damascus, he met the risen Lord. And we heard how he met the Lord. He did not go up to Jerusalem to the apostles before him, but he went to Arabia, and he went to the wilderness of Sinai. How God spoke to Moses, God also spoke to Paul. But remember, God spoke to Paul words that he had already spoken. Now, at the feet of Gamaliel, he learned many things regarding the law. And those words were already spoken in the Old Testament. And God speaks again. Now, when Paul was at the feet of Gamaliel, the Holy Spirit did not enter into him, because at that time he was not yet saved. But now the Holy Spirit abode in him, and the Spirit was led him to the truth. Before, the Old Testament was a closed book to him. On the road to Damascus, the explanation was different. He saw the light, and he did see what it means to be justified by faith. So that when he read Genesis chapter 15, he now sees a different explanation. Before, he had read Genesis 15 many times, because he was a rabbi. Just like Gamaliel, he would be like the blind teaching the blind. But the Holy Spirit now opened his eyes, and the scales of his eyes fell. And he sees what it means to be justified by faith. And also in Genesis 1, and the earth was without form and void, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So this speaks of God's old creation. But now the Holy Spirit in Paul is speaking, and the scales of his eyes has fallen. And God was just like the farmer to go and prick Paul, and Paul did not obey and kicked against the goats. So wasn't that like his situation when he was on his way to Damascus? But when God said, let there be light, there was light. And so this is the story of salvation. So he used the words of the Old Testament in Genesis to explain what happened to him on the road to Damascus. To go back to Ezekiel seeing the image of the glory of God. When Paul persecuted the church, Paul was there when Stephen was martyred. And many people covered the ears, and that included Paul. He didn't want to see, and he didn't want to hear anything. But then he still heard. He heard the testimony of Stephen. And the heavens opened, and God's glory stood at the right-hand side of God. And this man should have died, and should have been stoned. It is something that God did not desire. But Paul thought to himself, why did Stephen's face look like an angel's face? Why was his heart like a lion's heart? If it is not pleasurable to God, why did he see the heavens open? Paul would think, I've learned so many lessons in the school of the great rabbi. I know what the glory of God is. The most that Ezekiel saw was the glory of God's image. So how did Stephen see God's glory? So God's spirit, just like the goat, was pricking in Paul's heart. He was the chief among sinners. He was not ready, yet he saw God's glory. God's glory is abstract. God's glory is invisible. But how do you see it? Because it is shown in the face of the Lord, Jesus. Now, man's face is his representation. It is also our manifestation. We see here that God is invisible, and you cannot explain God's glory. But Paul saw it on the road to Damascus. And this glory could not have been more well-structured. So, what did Paul see that Ezekiel cannot explain, but that Paul can't explain? And this is to learn Christ. Now, I was actually really touched by this point because despite how much of a filthy sinner I am, yet God still gives us the hope to be able to experience this glorification by faith. And may He continue to work in us so that we come to not only experience what it means to be justified by faith, to be sanctified by faith, but also to experience the glorification by faith.
I really thank God for bringing me to the conference, and I still remember on the first night when I get to the conference, and Solomon and Chong was in the same room, and Teddy was on the same floor, but my room was on the third floor, and I felt kind of lonely because I don't know anyone. And when I went to the door, and there's a list on there, and everyone on there was from Richmond, Virginia, or from the States, and from other places. And they're all white too. And I was really, I felt really kind of, not scared, but I felt really lonely kind of. And I don't know how am I going to talk to these people. You know, they speak a little bit differently, like sorry, a boot, and bag. Anyways, so the first night, I still remember, before I go to sleep, I was going to go brush my teeth. And in the hallway, I mean, there's two washrooms, and it was all full. Yeah, so I was just standing in the hallway, and I see this brother. He's from the Toronto church. His name is called Alistair. And at first, I just started talking to him, and we started sharing. And we started talking about how can we really follow Jesus and all that. And we started talking about it's really hard, and there's a lot of things in our life that's in our ways. And it was just so amazing that the next day's devotion they gave us was talking about how to deny ourselves and how to follow Him. And at first I was like, wow, the Lord is speaking to me already. But then on that night again, we were sharing again, and we started talking about how can we really pray, and how can we pray like so that God is like according to God's heart and all that. And then we didn't come up with the answer either. So the next morning, the devotion talked about the prayer of Joshua, and it was just so amazing. And in the devotion it says, our prayer are not mere requests to the Lord to be fulfilled for our benefit. Instead, our prayer are the expression of our hearts, desire for the Lord's will to be accomplished among His people. And on the third day devotion, I'm kind of tired, so I kind of forgot what I was talking about. Anyways, so the conference started pretty well, and I really thank God for bringing me there, and I'm pretty sure that everything happened not because of chance or anything, but it was His purpose, and for putting me in that room also, because I might be distracted by friends or people, so He knew that He wanted to put me on the third floor. And you want to be excluded with all those Caucasian people. Anyways, okay. I just want to share about something I kind of experienced personally during the conference. And one thing was during one of the workshops. After the workshop, the brother John that was leading a workshop came up to me and tell me that my prayer was too long. And at first I was like, what's he talking about? You know, no one ever say like your prayer is too long or too short. So I was thinking, this guy, what's he talking about? So I started to doubt about him, so I talked to Dave. And Dave told me that, during a corporate prayer, we shouldn't just pray for what we want and pray for ourselves, but we have to know that we're a fellowship as a one body, and we have to pray according to what this body needs. And that really stood up to me, because I never thought of this different kind of prayer. I thought this is only praying, right? And then after, I started to think about why, how come I never thought about this before? And actually, it wasn't that God doesn't reveal to me, it's because I didn't want to know about it, because I always have this fear of men, of opening up during meetings. So He did give me the chance to learn and to practice, but it was me that never opened up. Yeah, that's one thing I learned. And okay, anyways, so to what I learned from the conference. So this conference, as you guys probably all know, talks about denying ourselves and how to pick up our cross and follow Him. And what I really learned from this conference was that as we taste His goodness and His love, we came to a point to see this world is valueless. It doesn't worth anything, and it's empty. And And only Lord Himself can fulfill us, and only Him can give us this, can really fulfill our heart. And every time before, I always thought that if God was this much, I would at least have like this much. So every time I would take a decision, make myself own decision, this much of decision, and every time I come to a problem, I need that much of Him, I would just come to Him. But that was really wrong, because during the message, one of the brothers said that this shouldn't be a one-way relationship, but it should be a two-way relationship, and it should be like a marriage, kind of. And that we should always abide in Him, and not just by ourselves, and only come to Him when we need Him. And that really touched me, because I always thought I have that much that I can, plan out my own future and do all that. But really, without Him, all these decisions I made are really nothing. And another thing I learned was from the last day. I remember all the speaker, they came and shared about their testimony. And what really struck me is not all of them start off with loving God and all that, but I remember it was Jim. He talked about his parents are quite decent, and they're Christian also, but he never had this heart for the Lord, and he said that in high school he always go to a party and everything, and at the end he quit school and he doesn't know what to do and became like a bum and just hiked the train and all that. Oh, that was Sunny. Just too getting tired. It's 1 o'clock. I mean 12 o'clock in Toronto. Okay. Anyways, so like after he'd been through all that and been through failure in his life, he finally came to realize how good the Lord is. And also, brother, that played basketball guy. Oh, Dana? No, Jim. Now it's Jim. Okay, Jim. Okay, Jim, he also loved basketball a lot, and he was really good, and he was on this really good team also, and but then at the end, he felt it was really empty playing basketball, and this wasn't what he wanted, and it didn't fulfill him at all, so he came back to the Lord. But all these things that they went through has been a long time, and after I heard about these, I really asked the Lord that He can give me a teachable heart and a willing heart to learn, because I don't want to go through all that to, at the end, finally realize how good He is. Yeah.
Okay, so I also really think...
What? Oh... Sorry.
It is, yeah. Okay, so I also thank God for bringing me to this conference. I gotta admit that I wasn't really expecting that much. I kind of went there, and like in the back of my mind, I was thinking, you know, maybe I'll have like a spiritual high after a conference, but then it's gonna get bad afterwards anyway, so what's the point? But then, one thing I heard at the conference is like, we shouldn't condemn ourselves. Like, God doesn't condemn, He convicts us. And so I'm glad I went, because I heard a lot about how great God's love is. Like, I have a really limited view of who God is, even though I grew up in church. And another thing I heard was how His love for us is like a marriage relationship. So then it's not like we always have to try hard to like be spiritual and all that, but He's also committed to our relationship. And like, I think Solomon mentioned this, but He's committed to our salvation, and He's committed to His purpose of molding us. And it's not that we have to strive and all that, but He wants a relationship with us. And I guess that stuck out to me, how the purpose of our salvation isn't just to get us out of hell, but it's to have a relationship. And just hearing so much about how God, it's Him who chooses us and He wants us to love Him back, like, that was really encouraging. And Dana was saying that when you taste and see that God is so good, then you'll follow Him. Because you can't just deny yourself and take up your cross. You have to have something to, like, replace. Like, you have to some goal to look to. And so, yeah, I heard a lot about following Him, but I'll just share one small thing that especially stuck out, and that's about quiet time. Because a speaker was saying that sometimes we read our Bibles and it's like kind of boring, and you can tell God that I'm reading this and it's a drag, but you can tell Him that, but you got to keep coming even though that's what you think. And because you can read your Bible out of acts of faith, and then when you keep coming, He'll come too. And so, because this conference is kind of different, I didn't have a roommate, and usually I have someone to share with at night and, like, talk for a long time. But then this one, I was all alone, like Stephen. And boy, like, I think it was really good. Because I've never had a conference where you get quiet time with God. More, you're usually just chatting and you're busy with friends. And I liked having that quiet time. And then I kind of chose to spend time with God more because I realized that you can hear a lot from the messages, but it's when you have a secret relationship with God that you can have that personal relationship. So another thing that I want to mention was like the testimonies on the last day. Those also really encouraged me because you always think that they're like really spiritual speakers, they're way up there, but it turns out that they went through the same things we did. And like Jim and Dana and all those, they went through maybe really tough times and they were so depressed and they were wanting to give up. But in the end, like Sunny was sharing, like Janice mentioned that too, but like no one who follows God will regret. And so just with this whole conference, I just want to like respond more to God, because I'll end with this verse. It was in Proverbs 29:19, and it says that a servant cannot be corrected by mere words. Though he understands, he will not respond. And so, after hearing so much about His love, about these testimonies, about how like God is so good, it's no use if I don't respond, if I don't have, like, if I don't choose to have quiet time after this conference. And so, really pray that we'll all have more hunger, more thirst for Him. Because we do get familiar and laid back sometimes coming to church, but like a speaker said, we just pray to God that He will increase our love for Him.
So I originally, well, first I want to, first of all, I want to thank God because He's really good. Psalm 107. Just this conference, I just really want to thank God because He really worked in me through this conference, and it's not just the conference, but also the fellowship I had with brothers and sisters that went with me, and as well as in Toronto. Like Florence, I didn't expect much coming. I thought it was going to be another retreat, another spiritual high. but God really showed me so many things through this conference. And in my room, I was originally supposed to room with this one person that I already met in the church in Toronto, but somehow I switched with this this brother named Johnson. And I praise the Lord that he really touched me through him. Like, he really inspired, Johnson inspired me how he doesn't believe in TV. He doesn't watch TV. He doesn't have cable. All his clothes he has is Christian clothes. It has things like that. And I'm just like, oh no. Because if some of you know me, I work at Banana Republic. And, no, but just that. But he really inspired me. And last year in the summer, we had really good fellowship. We had a, we were going quite, I was quite strong and fervent for the Lord. But as soon as school came, I just started to die down, and the world consumed me. I don't know who it was who said this analogy, but it's like a spider web, and we're like a fly, and we just wrapped in the world. And the more we're wrapped, we're consumed by the world, we're sucked, our lives are sucked by the world. And that's just how I was through school and through work as well. And everything, all these things just consumed me. And these things just made me feel lonely and empty. These things affected my relationship with God. And in the first message at in the morning by Jim, he goes through different realms of following the Lord. And there was five different parts in the realm of discovery. And so there's these things that I discovered. Luke 5, 1 to 11. the part from that is we discover we're sinful, how sinful we really are. And through this conference, I learned how sinful I am. And also how much we love our possessions, our worldly possessions. And I think I've grown really attached to so many things of this world. As well as we discover ego, I find that I'm quite prideful in many things. And I absorb a lot of praise that other people give. And also discovery of how judgmental we are, how we perceive other people. I'm quite judgmental. And like Stephen's roommate, you know, as soon as you have like white brothers and sisters, you start to feel a little judgmental. And also, as well, the last one is discovery of how the world is influential to us. And that really spoke to me, because it's just a big wake-up call. Like, I just got whacked in the face with a hammer. Because it just, I felt so attached to this world, and it's really plucked me. And also from this brother Johnson, he started saying QT, and what's QT? Quiet time. I discovered that myself. But like in the morning, like I'd be just on the bed, so tired, right? Like we would have to wake up at, before 7, 6 something, and that's not how I usually do. And when I wake up, he's already there, and he's writing down his. He's doing his devotion. He's writing down what he learned to him and everything. I'm like, you know, that's a really good idea. So I've been starting to write down my devotions and just what they mean to me and the practical side of what I learned from them. And a couple of things that I really learned is praise the Lord. Give thanks to him. He does so much for us, and we really need to give that praise back to him. And he loves us so much. We need to say, I love you, like Sunny says, every morning. You say, I love you to the Lord. I think it was Dana that was saying that, like, when you wake up to the radio and then the first thing you hear, it's that song, and that song will stick into your head. But he said, like, if you read the word before you do anything else, you know, that will stick with you. And I think that's really true, because actually just a while ago, songs were going through my head. And Also, this conference also gave me a really new outlook on life, and just the sense of discovery of how sinful I am, and how many things that I need to work on, and there's things that of this world that just hold me back. And who's it said that leisure, there's nothing in our leisure time. We're really tired, and we want to relax. We want to do all these things. But what do they really gain? They really gain nothing. There's nothing to show for. And it's just, I also realize, like, how are we spending our time? Because it's not guaranteed that we always have tomorrow. I've also learned in retreats, I always have a spiritual high, and it just goes down. But I really learned, like, I got to get out of this roller coaster, and I really got to be consistent with the Lord. So what really spoke out to me was like taking baby steps, you know, just slowly progress in your in what you do and what you give up and what you do to the Lord. Then it won't seem like such a huge thing on you, and you won't give up, have a spiritual burnout. Another thing, two other things is fellowship. Like, I think during school, I was quite drawn to this world because I didn't have as much accountability. And what really touched me this conference was in my room. I know during our meetings here in Vancouver, in our own fellowship, when we go pray, there's always these long pauses. But in the conference, it's like, I got to get my prayer in because everyone's keep praying over and over, right? And you know, and you have to, and it felt really like, really like the Lord touching me, right? And just like, you know, put your prayer in it, right? Like, it really encouraged me, and it just really encouraged me to like bring this back to our own fellowship and just have this one body unity and just really be searching the Lord together, pick ourselves up like together, and. The last biggest thing I learned was since I was about grade 7 or grade 8, I've had my plans as going into business, and I've had my set plan, and I really learned there was a workshop about school and just how you have to really give up these things to God and just like have Him do your plan. And just it just really struck me, it's like, what if God doesn't want me to go into business? And I've been praying this all my life, or not all my life, but for a really long time, since I started getting serious. And that just really also spoke to me in another workshop. We have to keep ourselves available, ready to serve the Lord. Like one of the speakers said, like soldiers, we always have to be ready to serve the Lord and just be ready. Just a lot of main thing is I learned to really come before the Lord and just ask for His will and not my own.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. So the trip to Toronto was actually my first time on a plane and first time being so far away from home, as funny as that sounds, but I really saw the Lord's goodness in it all, and I saw His loving kindness to the brothers and sisters there, and their hospitality towards us, and the housing they provided us, and the good food. Food is good. And I've gotten closer with the brothers and sisters from here from VCA, the ones that I've went with, and I was really blessed to be in the same room as Solomon, and I didn't know I was able to share so much with another person. One time when I moved into the house by myself because the other three were staying at someone else's house, Stephen gave me a call to ask if I was lonely. And that was just really nice. Yeah. Anyways, yes, I really saw the Lord's love in it all. And... Sorry, Stephen. Anyways... But however, during the conference, what touched me most was the workshop on relationships and marriage preparation. And ever since Dave Pan's sharing at a praise and worship meeting a while ago, I've been convicted because there's this relationship that I've been holding on to for the longest time, and I have not been dealing with it properly. And so during the workshop, the Lord showed me how self-centered I was, and how I left him out of the decision. And I realized that this relationship was holding me back from a deeper relationship with the Lord. And the theme verse of our conference was Matthew 16:24. And in it says, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And the speaker, Sunny, described this as described the denial of self and the carrying of the cross as coming under the priority of another. And with this, I realized that I haven't fully denied myself and taken up my cross. And also, I've learned that the Lord always has his best for us if only we'd obey and be patient with him. And even in the little things. For example, throughout our trip in Toronto, I had a small obsession with buying postcards. And, and so the first ones I saw were at Niagara Falls, and they were selling for 88 cents each. You know, I guess that was kind of a good deal, under a dollar, right? And so I bought a few there. And later at a mall, I found some for 69 cents. So I was like, wow, even better. So I bought some more there, and finally at Chinatown, yes, Chinatown one day, I came upon a rack of postcards going for three for a dollar. Like, wow. Obviously, it was a better deal there, and I purchased even more. And then, however, just a few stores, like, away, they were selling for a dollar. I was like, wow. And by that time, I just had way too many postcards, and I just couldn't buy any more. So, yeah, with this example, it really reminded me how God has the best for us, and if we just be patient and trust in him. So, yes, thanks for listening.
I have absolutely no idea what I'm about to say. I guess I was just flipping through my notebook and just looked at like the three. I guess there's three conferences really, if you count the one that locally, the one with when Bellman Lynn was here. So I mean, in a span of 3 weeks, I actually had three conferences. So I guess I'm experiencing a bit of a spiritual indigestion. Can't really digest it all, but. And it's also kind of like, I don't know who said what. Like, so I know it's not the people that we're listening to, but it's one voice, and that's the Lord speaks and convicts in our hearts. So so I probably won't be able to tell you names or, you know, when I share about what I heard or where I heard it. It's just one big blob of sharing. I think just before the conference, before hanging out, I think a lot of brothers and sisters knew that I was pretty busy with work and had deadlines coming up and just didn't have the greatest time, like, because of just the time that I spent at work. It was just ridiculous. And I for most people that know me, I don't like to work. Like, I don't think anybody does, but especially me. But I've always been good with meeting my deadlines, and I know it's not because of my own strength or how much time I can put into it, but it's really the grace of the Lord that I could finish that deadline and you know, leave without having to worry about it too much. So really thank the Lord for, and also brothers and sisters for praying me during that time. So I thought that I was home free, you know, like you go to conferences and you go there and you listen and you just eat some more, and like both food physically and also spiritual food. But, you know, being an older person than these guys, these young kids who call them childrens. But you know, just basically you land there, and Phyllis said that, you know, we just start doing airport duty. So that was like a day of just running around and waiting. I don't know, maybe Phyllis had time to share with people, but all I did was just wait and wait and wait some more. So, but there's lessons to be learned in that as well. And, you know, I had to be a discussion group leader. Thank God he placed me with Jonathan Pong, and so I did nothing. Even though YC threatened me that he would talk to Jonathan to let me handle it, but that never happened, which is the grace of the Lord as well. But yeah, it's just good going away from work and being with, you know, brother and sister, seeing Jonah. I wasn't supposed to room with him, but he pulled me in his room, and I didn't sleep for the week before, and like I didn't sleep that night either, because it's always him talking. Like, so I had to stay up, you know, and then so I was pretty tired for the next morning. But thank God I got stayed awake for that first message, and I guess the evening message was the first one, which Lance was had, and you know, I think a lot of times I go to WCC and I was very prejudiced against the speakers, because I always say I can understand Lance because, you know, he's white and he can speak English, but, you know, Stephen Collins speaks it too, but I mean he's kind of like a grandpa figure, and you know he's kind of like stories and you get lost and you just feel warm and cozy, right? And Christian Chan's just like, what do you say? So, hope this isn't going down to LA, or wherever they are in their fellowships, but yeah, like, I think one message that Lance gave, and it was it's the Friday's message, and start off saying we shall be like him. Like, it's not like we'll be like him. It's not like you may be like him. It's we shall be like him, and it's something that is certain. It's something that isn't. You know, it's not something for us to doubt. It's not something for us to question. We shall be like him. And, you know, the purpose of God, like, is so that we are like Jesus. And that's the bottom line. And so he went on and he talked about, like, a lot of things. And, you know, he talked about it's not just enough for us to be converted. It's not enough for us to be saved. It's not enough for us to be barely, you know, a Christian, but we need to surrender this defaced image that we have since the fall, since we fell, since Adam and Eve fell. And we need to be born again. And, you know, we always hear these terms thrown around, but, you know, what did it really mean to be born again? And it's kind of weird, like, you know, like, I didn't really know what the Toronto conference was, but then here the Lord spoke to me, and he's kind of set me up. And one of the things that Lance said at WCC was, you cannot follow him if you have a self life. And he went on, and that is when I felt really convicted about self life. You know, you think, oh, I'm here, I'm serving in Vancouver, I'm so great, I'm, you know, I spend so much time with brothers and sisters, and I do this and do that, and really it's myself, and it's not much of the Lord. And when I saw that, I was like, you know, there is something that I need to deal with. There's something that the Lord is speaking to me that I cannot fully follow him without letting go of the self life. And whoever seeks to save his own life will lose it, and whoever loses it shall save it. So I don't know. So that's kind of the thing. I didn't want to share too much about WCC. But we drove back up, so it was like 28-hour drive, and, you know, more tiredness. And went home, did my laundry, packed, and out I go next day to Toronto. So it's quite the experience. I think I traveled like 10,000 kilometers in like the span of a couple of weeks. Landed there, is like the flight was delayed, so there's more waiting. It's always about waiting, like. I don't understand. I think the Lord's trying to say something. So my flight was delayed. I waited, and then that night it was just me and Peter and Cynthia, because Minerva couldn't make it yet. So I was hungry, so we decided to drive. And I wanted a Baconator, but I couldn't believe where Pete didn't know where like Wendy's was, like the restaurant. So we ended up going to McDonald's, and we just spent, I don't know, it was just good time seeing my brother. Like, I think a lot of times we take for granted when we're around people that we care about, and then when they're gone, like you know, you still have to live, but it's just, you know, you realize that there's something missing. But it was good to see him again, and even though I couldn't satisfy my hunger, but it was good. And yeah, so I mean, with brothers, I think every time I see him, we always get into a fight. It's just like, not a physical fight, like I wouldn't last a minute if I fought him, but yeah, it was a Saturday night when Minerva came, and there's four of us, and I thought that we'd had time to do something, but he was tired, and so I was not really tired because I sleep late usually, but Eastern time zone, we were 3 hours ahead, so he told me to go to sleep, and I just said, whatever, like, you know, this is my schedule. You haven't lived with me for 5 years. You don't know my schedule. You don't know how I run. You don't know what I need. And a lot of it, again, was myself. And you know, at that time, I didn't realize it, you know, and even though I had heard from WCC that, yeah, there's a lot of self inside of me that I have not dealt with. And, you know, it got to the point where it wasn't really great, like, you know, but in the end, I submitted, and, you know, I didn't know why the Lord would allow us to, just for a short time, just to get into a fight over something, like, very, very small. And so the next morning, I guess, it was Hosea Wu giving a message in Toronto congregation. And his message, I guess, about spiritual seeing and spiritual hearing, like, and he mentioned about, I think Florence just mentioned the Proverbs, the servant will not be corrected by mere words. And there's a lot of words thrown around during that fight. And, you know, it's easy for us to say a lot of things or hear a lot of things, but if we don't really have the ears to hear, we won't hear it. And if we don't have the eyes to see, we won't see it. So it was kind of a good setup again for the conference, because there's going to be a lot of hearing in the conference, a lot of seeing. So we ended off with, he who has ears, let him hear. And we know where that's from in the Gospels. And it's mentioned so many times. So again, being one of the older ones at Toronto, get to serve, get to lead an apartment this time. I got to stay in an apartment instead of a townhouse. But luckily I was paired up with another older brother from Toronto, so I did nothing again. Well, not really, but yeah, apparently they always give the good kids to that brother because he can't control people very well. So Jay was in my townhouse or apartment. There's another brother from that I had led before. I had a chance to be in the same townhouse before, so I mean, we already knew most of them, so it was good, and had a good time of fellowship and time of devotion. So there's one devotion that stood out. I think it was the last one, and it talked about the maybe not the last one, second last one, the story of Esther, and how, you know, Mordecai came to her and said, you know, all this stuff's going to happen to all the Jews, going to be killed because of you know, this decree that's being set. But Esther's response was, if I perish, I'll perish, right? And again, it's this dying thing again. So, I mean, we all know the conference theme is deny, or part of it, of the theme verse is deny yourself. And, you know, the verse is structured to the point where you already are there, that you want to follow him, because it says, if you would come after me. So it's not like he forces us. He never forces us to do anything. He never twists our arm, or, you know, the Lord is so good to us that he just wants us to follow him. And So the Lord, I think, I mean, there's so many other things, and I have so many things that I can ramble on, but I think the Lord is just so good. And one thing that I don't think I'll ever forget is the most simple thing that is probably the first thing that you hear as, you know, when you first become a believer. Or, you know, a while ago we heard a message about the pastor going up to the pulpit and saying, here's the text for today, love one another. And he walked off, right? But for this conference, I think the text should be just love the Lord. And that's it. I think we can't get rid of this self-life if we don't have somebody that we love more than ourselves. If we don't love the Lord more than anything, and I mean anything, not, you know, your parents, your husband, wife, your kids. If you don't love the Lord more than absolutely anything in this world, there's absolutely no way that we can follow Him.
I guess I'm the oldest of this bunch, so I'm wrapping up. There's been a lot that I've heard as well, and it's interesting being a mommy for these kids. And but just like the Lord was there, and it's hard to put everything in a very precise way, but I think at the WCC, what really spoke to me was when the first message is given by Lance, and it was talking about how, like, the Lord desires that every one of His children be conformed to the image of Jesus, His Son. And then he was saying that we are already placed in Christ, and so that we are part of this new creation, and all these old things have passed away, and everything's become new. And when he said that, like, he's saying that, you know, we aren't the people who make ourselves new, but it's when we're placed in Jesus that, you know, we are a new creation. And when he said that, he said that, like, he begins with sinners like us. Like, he used, like, a really kind of like a British term. He said, like, oh, we're like human flotsam and jetsam, and we're like absolute rubbish until we were saved, and then our position changes. And I was really, really touched when he was sharing about how we need to put off, like, the old man and put on the new man. And I never understood what that meant. But he gave a story about how that he was visiting an area and there were a lot of statues. And the statues were headless, but then they had these little kind of, I don't know, like little screw things in them. And he asked, like, why did those statues have, like, you know, no heads? And they were saying that, like, when a king was, like, assassinated, like, they had to always make a new statue for that king to indicate its rulership over that area. And so then, like, he was saying that, like, because the people got lazy and they didn't want to, like, make a whole new statue again, so then they just, like, you know, unscrewed the head off and then put a new head. And so then I thought, oh, that's really cool, because, like, I was saying, like, it's no longer us who's the head, right? It's the Lord who's the head. And He's the one who's ruling over our lives. And it helped me to see. And what really, really touched me was, he said, it's a change in management. And he said, when the Lord Jesus is Lord, you'll be changed in His likeness. And here's that one line that really spoke to me. He said this. He said, all the circumstances, every relationship, every problem, every tribulation will be used by the Spirit of God to fashion you and to produce the character of God. When you have your own head, there's going to be no change. But with His head, there's a glorious change. And Brother Chen was sharing about Peter and how he had a big mouth, suffering. And he like always messed up. And I really feel like I relate to Peter because I always mess up and I say things and I offend people, or like I'm pretty rough sometimes. And just how like Peter was saying, oh, you know, do you guys pay temple tax? And he was like, yeah, we do. And all of a sudden the Lord teaches him a lesson and tells him, like, go and fish. And when you have found the fish, you know, you take the coin out of its mouth and pay for both you and me. And I never saw it this way, but Brother Chen was saying that the Lord really worked a number in Peter because he used to catch all this fish with nets, but then now he had to, like, wait patiently for that one fish. And so the Lord is teaching him that patience. And in the same way, at the youth conference, Brother Jim was saying that, like, when we come to know the Lord, we are already in his realm of favor. Like, we are already in Christ. But, like, when we come to the Lord, we also come to a realm of discovery. We discover how much of a sinner we really are. Like, when Peter, like, came in contact with the Lord Jesus, he felt, you know, Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. But then I remember Brother Lance says, when we see more of ourselves, we don't just stay in that depression, like when we see how sinful we are, but we are to move forward in faith and obedience to discover more of the Lord and his love for us. And so going back to that story about Peter and how he had a big mouth, like I feel very, very encouraged when Christian Chen said that even though Peter had a big mouth, he messed up so much, but at the end he ended up having a golden mouth in the sense that the Lord restored him and helped him to speak. And when he shared with the masses, like so many people were converted to believe in him. And I was really encouraged because like I really messed up a lot in my life. But just how the Lord's, you know, using these examples of Peter, and even the testimonies of Jim and Sonny Bradley at the youth conference, and how they said that, you know, they made so many mistakes. And I remember Sonny Bradley saying that if there's one phrase I could say about my life in the past, I would say I am very ashamed. But then the Lord still came to them and still used them. And I mean, there is a lot to share, but I think at a workshop, Brother Lenny Amato was sharing on career, and he gave one picture that really caused me to want this, and I'll just share it with you before we close. He was sharing that, you know, in our life, he asked us, you know, how many of you guys are full-time ministers for the Lord? And then no one in that room put up their hand. So he goes, you know what? All of you, when you are saved, you know, there is no separation between the secular and the sacred. You are all full-time ministers for the Lord. No matter where you are, no matter what you do, you are all full-time ministers for the Lord. And he said that so many things in the world, like so many causes people have so much passion for, they would even die for, like the wars and everything. But where has our passion for the Lord gone? And I felt really convicted when he mentioned about Paul. In 2 Corinthians 5:13, when Paul says, if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, for the love of Christ compels us. And he was telling us, you know, what does it mean to be beside yourself for Christ? And so he talked about like this girl who's babysitting her younger brother. And all of a sudden, she gets a phone call from her friend, and she talks to the friend and says, oh, yeah, we're going to go out, and we're going to chill, and we're going to, like, do this and that, and let's watch a movie. Yeah. And they're really excited and stuff. Meanwhile, the brother's crawling around, and she doesn't pay attention to the brother. And then so she goes and washes dishes and does this and that, but she didn't realize where her brother went, so she's looking around for her brother, and the brother's gone. And later, she goes outside and sees that the brother has actually crawled into the swimming pool and is now like floating face down on the pool. So then he was saying about how the girl would run up to the brother and just like, no, God, please don't let anything happen to my brother. And just all her energy, every ounce of her attention, everything was focused on reviving her brother. And he said, to be beside yourself for Christ is to the point where nothing diverts your attention from the Lord and from pursuing him. And I think when he said that, I just felt like, Lord, I want this. I want nothing to distract me from just wanting you. And so I think that was one of the the things that really spoke to me. Like, there's a lot of other things, but I do believe that, you know, we have lots of time for brothers and sisters, you know, in the coming days, just to share and fellowship with each other. If there's more you want, like to ask about any of the brothers and sisters who went to conferences, please feel free to. I think we're going to end off our time here. Is there anyone else who has something to share for the conference before we end? Okay. If not, we're going to end off with a word of prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we just want to give you thanks for speaking to each of our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would help us to just love you with our heart, our mind, our strength, our all, Lord. Lord, may your love, so amazing and so divine, cause us to give all our all to you, Lord. Lord, I just want to thank you for never giving up on us, for continuing to speak to us. Lord, I pray that we will not just be hearers, that we will be doers of your word. Lord, may all that we've heard, all that we've shared, all that we've experienced, not be just something that we keep in our memories. But Lord, may you change us yourself. May your Holy Spirit work in us a deeper hunger and to open our eyes, our hearts, and our ears to desire more of you, Lord. We just pray in your most precious name. Amen.